Well, I'd like to welcome to the Caregiver Smile Summit, Sherwin Sheikh. He's the founder and CEO of CareLinks, a company that's grown to become the largest nationwide caregiving marketplace with over 175,000 professionals specifically focused on helping patients with chronic conditions, individuals with disabilities, and the elderly. Prior to CareLinks, Sherwin worked and invested in the healthcare industry for over 15 years. He founded CareLinks specifically to solve many of the problems his family endured while struggling to manage home health care for his sister with multiple sclerosis and his uncle who has had ALS. Welcome, Sherwin, to the Caregiver Smile Summit.
Thank you so much. It's an honor and pleasure to be here.
Well, great. We're honored to have you as well, and I admire you for what you're doing and kind of your origins as well. And having been a caregiver myself, I feel deeply for what you're doing. So tell us about your personal experience a little bit with caregiving and the home care industry.
Yes. So I've been dealing with my family with caregiving for over 23 years. My sister got diagnosed when she was 25 with multiple sclerosis. She unfortunately progressed to the point where she became quadriplegic and blind. And the amount of time my mom was having to take off of work to deal with her care coordination and just agency turnover, caregiver turnover. The industry statistic is about 70% annual turnover in the industry. Ultimately, for the amount of time my mom was taking off of work, forced her into early retirement, and they gave her a package saying, you obviously need to spend more time with your daughter than here at work. And so that always stuck with me, as there has to be better solutions out there. We now live in a society where many families do not live in the same city or state, and especially family caregivers looking after their parents and elderly, a lot of times they're in a different city and state. And there had to be a better solution for helping families who are managing that. And then on top of it, my uncle, my real dad passed away when I was six. And my uncle had ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and fought the good fight for 7 years. Ultimately, when I saw all the burden that what my aunt was going through, she was basically running an ICU out of her house. And a lot of people don't realize this, but home care is not covered by insurance. It's not covered by Medicare. And if you don't have, if you're not broke and you don't have a liquid net worth less than $2,000, you're paying out of pocket. And so they were drawing down significant amount of savings. And then they went to classifieds to find private caregivers, like many families do, just because they just couldn't afford the traditional agency rates. And they had individuals steal from them, not show up for shifts, which ultimately resulted in my uncle being rehospitalized. And all these things really made me focus that, and realize that I want to spend the next part of my career after in being an investor in healthcare to really improve this industry that's very fragmented. It's really an industry that hasn't changed in a very long time. There are franchise-based models that are just kind of like staffing agencies. And the actual workers themselves get paid very little. But the cost of care is very expensive just because of the overhead of running an agency, the agency fees and franchise fees and whatnot. And so I end up realizing there had to be a better way to make the process a lot more efficient with the ubiquity of mobile tech and consumers getting comfortable with models such as Uber, Lyft, Airbnb and the like, that they start embracing models such as CareLinks. And so I've been on a 7-year mission to build CareLinks, and now we're one of the nation's largest caregiver marketplaces, helping thousands of families across the U.S.
That's awesome. And tough stuff. We had a friend who had ALS, and I definitely can relate. So in your experience, what are the most important factors in helping ensure a great caregiving experience?
Yes, that's a very important, probably the most important question of all the questions you're going to ask me. And a lot of times people think degree, like, is she an RN? Is she an LPN, licensed practical nurse or nurse practitioner? Or does she have a CNA? But in the end, really what it comes down to, and this is my 7 years of experience helping thousands of families across the U.S. and then my 23 years of experience intimately with my own family, the best outcomes occur when there is a positive personal match between the care recipient and the provider. And that is paramount, because you can have all the credentials and be experienced with specific disease states, but if there's not a trust and bond and true companion sense of camaraderie between the caregiver and we're talking professional caregiver and the care recipient, it's not going to be a good outcome, and on either side. And so when I help families, one of the things that we really focused on CareLinks was really helping identify to match families and patients with the right caregiver on multiple dimensions of compatibility. That's gender, because sometimes they're doing bathing and dressing, grooming, and they have to feel comfortable with that. The other is language, cultural background. If a person is introverted, they don't want a chatterbox with them in the house. Someone who's not very political doesn't want someone who's very political. It's in a way, you are kind of like on a dating website, because this is a person-to-person relationship. And so that more than anything else is probably the most important aspect, is to see, like, we have a tagline at CareLinks, and that is that the right caregiver is like family. And because they are essentially becoming a family member looking after your parents or loved one needing home care, that more than anything else, I mean, obviously most CNAs have the credibility and the credentials and certifications to help with activities of daily living, like bathing, grooming, dressing, meal preparation, transportation, med reminders. But it really comes down to the personal compatibility match between the patient and the provider. That is the most important thing.
Yeah, I like that. Dating for home care.
Yes.
Very good. Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I work in the hospital field around patient experience, and it really is all about the relationship. So what else should people look for when they're shopping for home care in general?
Yeah, I mean, if we think about it, there's one, first and foremost, is you have to think about your financial situation. Again, a lot of people enter into this thinking that, oh, my health insurance might cover home care. It doesn't. Unless you have a long-term care insurance policy, which less than 10% of the U.S. population actually has, you're going to be paying out of pocket for home care. And the biggest payer for home care is the state budget through Medicaid. But you only qualify for Medicaid when you're basically broke and have a liquid net worth of $2,000. So very first and foremost is families need to get together. The one thing I always like to advise the families is there has to be a quarterback, because a lot of families don't pre-plan for needing care for a loved one until there is an acute event. And then there's too many cooks in the kitchen, and which we know makes the soup too salty. And so going while things are stable ahead of time, pre-planning to make sure who's going to be the point amongst the siblings to take control and manage a process is probably the very first step that a lot of people don't recognize that needs to happen. that has to happen. And then next thing is discovering, okay, all right, so this is the person who's going to be interviewing the caregiver. This is the family member who's going to be responsible for paying the caregiver. Then it comes to this, the question of where the funds going to come. It's going to be coming from my mom's or dad's or loved one's savings, or all the siblings chipping together to cover the care. These conversations are very hard conversations that families need to have, because a lot of times they don't realize that they have to pay out of pocket currently in the United States for this stuff. And then once they get a sense of what their abilities are to pay and afford, and the affordability, then, and who's going to be managing the process, then it is all about reaching out to find that right caregiver. So agencies, in my opinion, are the reason why I created Carolyn's, are a lot of more or less staffing companies. But the people that matter the most are the professional caregiver that's going to be coming into the home on a day-to-day basis, taking care of your loved one. And do they match? As I talked about, this is so much about personal compatibility, not with just your patient, your loved one who needs care, but also with the family members. Sometimes they co-live together with a daughter, and the mother lives in the daughter's home, and while she's at work, she needs a professional caregiver, and they need to make sure that there's compatibility there. Then obviously that they have experience with the condition of their loved one. So looking at disease state specifics, and then making sure that you run a criminal background check on the caregiver. And if you go through an agency, ask, when was the last criminal background check run? Can you receive a copy of that criminal background check? That's one thing that you have to realize is there's a lot of very altruistic people who get into the caregiving industry, but it's also an industry that pays very poorly. And so you really need to make sure that the people who you're entering into your home are properly vetted and do have the insurance and coverage. So you want to ask, can I please see what your liability policy is for the agency you're working with, or the firm that you're working with, such as CareLinx or others, and get comfortable that there is protection. God forbid an accident happens, there's property damage in the home. These are things that you need to be thinking about. And when you're hiring these people, but more than anything else, it is making sure that the right compatible fit, making sure that they have a clean criminal background, making sure that you are paying above board. Don't ever let caregivers tell you to go under the table, or families mistakenly think that, oh, I can save some money by going and paying this person directly, because you really put your family at significant risk in terms of that caregiver basically falls and gets injured. They can come after for workman's comp basically for the fact that you never contributed into their Social Security, state disability, unemployment benefits. And a lot of families don't realize that legally they have to. And more and more the caregivers are understanding that they have the right to have their employers contribute to Social Security, Medicare, state disability, and whatnot, and unemployment insurance. And it's making sure that the agencies are properly handling it, and or whatever means that you're handling it through, like a company like CareLinx or others, they're properly managing all those payroll responsibilities.
Yeah, great points. And timely, my mother-in-law was just hospitalized. She'll be 87, and we're in North Carolina. She's in Philadelphia. My wife has three other siblings, but she has always been the middle child and the liaison and the quarterback for this. So she basically went up and you know, called the family meeting and is organizing all the things. And we totally get it. Obviously, she's a smart lady, but obviously, since I work in this field, she has an idea of some of this stuff. But you know, it's still like semi-crisis when it happens, and so few people do plan beforehand and have these family gatherings, and it's smart to do so. And you mentioned a lot of other great points that even I don't think of right off the top in terms of the under the table and the you know, the worry that can come from that by violating some things. So thanks for that. So, you know, given what you were saying, what is the typical cost of, and let's distinguish, there is two types of home care. There's skilled home care where, you know, nurses come in, and then there's this more kind of custodial care. So maybe you could distinguish and then talk a little bit about the pricing.
Yes. That's a great point. So when a lot of people talk about home care, they interchangeably talk about home health and home care, but really there is non-medical home care and then there's skilled home health. Skilled home health is covered by Medicaid and Medicare under a physician order. And basically the patient basically has progressed to the point where they need an RN, a nurse practitioner, to come in and actually conduct medical grade tasks in the home setting. So these are like nurse practitioners, LPNs, RNs under the supervision of a doctor that's doing that. Though that is typically ranges in from $75 an hour to a couple hundred dollars an hour, depending on where you are and the type of needs that the patient has. But those are typically covered by Medicare. And so that's the skilled home health. Majority of the care that's done in the United States is actually non-medical custodial home care, and also known to some as private duty home care. And that is basically activities of daily living. They help with bathing, grooming, dressing, meal preparation, transportation, medication reminders, and basically light housekeeping. They are taking care of your loved one in their home. They're like their personal attendant. And the nationwide average from an agency perspective ranges from about $20 an hour to $35 an hour to, in some cases, a lot more than that, depending on how concierge you want to get. But the dollars can easily add up to close to $4,000 a month that you're paying out of pocket for these home care services. And that's one of the reasons why I kind of built CareLinx, was I ended up realizing a lot of the margin was going to the agency operators versus the actual workers. And so our model, basically, we just charge a flat transaction fee, and the caregiver sets their own rates. They see what fair market labor wages are, and then they're earning between 25 to 80% higher wages if they're interfacing with the health system. But that's a sense of the cost. The nationwide average is about that the caregivers you can find will be willing to work for $15 an hour. But again, the agencies build them out at close to $20 to $30 an hour. And they're paying them close to minimum wage, about $12 an hour.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, thanks for that education. So can you provide our audience with, you know, recent trends and new innovations within the caregiving industry? And when you talk about payment, do you ever think that this private duty care will ever be picked up by insurance in any way?
So yeah, that is probably where I'm most excited about. And so what we have evolved with CareLinx is really built now this national network of 170,000 providers. And we are now working with some of the largest health insurance companies, health systems, integrated delivery networks, accountable care organizations called ACOs, and more as we're moving into what's called value-based care, where before it was all fee for service, where the hospitals didn't really care in a way. They obviously do want to take care of patients, but financially they want them to be back in the hospital bed because they could bill more for them. But then now, as the payment models are changing because our government and Medicare is going to go broke if we don't, we're moving to value-based models where our basically giving the health system a fixed amount to take care of a patient. And now they are basically getting a lot more interested in managing and tracking these patients in the home setting. And so we have a lot of projects that we're working on with some of the largest insurance companies out there that are even covering the cost of home care because they're realizing that it is reducing, especially like for like Medicare Advantage patients, it's reducing the overall cost for taking care of their patients and allowing them to go home faster. And so with the use of our caregivers armed with digital tech that basically we track all the activities of daily living they do, they go through a digital care plan. When we identify points of clinical intervention, it's sent back to the payer and or the care management department at the payer level and or the health system that then can make a clinical decision that does it make sense to send out a skilled home health provider to do a visit into the home like a nurse. And what we're seeing now is a redistribution of healthcare dollars from inpatient bed settings and skilled nursing facility settings to more utilization of skilled home health and non-medical, because patients want to be in the home. So you're seeing this happen with doctors where the decentralizations of doctors doing visits at the home. Now you're also seeing decentralization of care delivery frontline with nursing staff going into the home setting rather than them showing up into the hospital unless it's absolutely critically needed. And so now that we're able to demonstrate that the payers, be it Medicare Advantage plans and even CMS, we're running clinical studies and presenting to CMS with some major payers where we're going to be able to demonstrate by covering home care, we can actually reduce the overall cost of taking care of patients and improve outcomes. So that's an exciting trend that's happening in the industry. There's a lot of data that's out there that is being published right now. We're publishing data that shows that there's significant ROI for both the health systems and the payers and better health outcomes by having patients get care in their home setting rather than in the hospital facility-based setting where patients don't want to be in the first place.
Yeah, very, very timely conversation because, again, with we're recording this in August, and of course, our viewers will see this starting in October. But with my mother-in-law's hospitalization, she just came home, and you know, there is skilled medical coming in to help her. And I think this Friday, the home health private duty come in, and I kind of asked my wife, you know, well, who did you select, and you know, what are they charge and all that kind of stuff? And she basically said that, you know, the hospital was not charging; they were coming in. It was their home care company, and it kind of clicked with me because our viewers may not realize that, you know, there are readmission penalties for hospitals if somebody's readmitted within 30 days for certain conditions. And so I immediately got that this health system got that they need to do these types of things because it's not only the right thing to do, it's been the right thing to do for years, but until it became I'm going to get dinged or rewarded for it, it became more incentive for it. So
you're absolutely right. So that's one major reason why they are now getting interested in it. The penalties are one side, and then on the flip side is their star ratings. And so the star ratings are also dependent upon their readmission rates and patient satisfaction scores. That dictates how much they're able to bill Medicare for taking care of their patients. And so if they're not taking care of 80% of complications happen in the home setting. It's not when they're in the hospital or in the skilled nursing facility. It's when they're discharged in the home. And now they're realizing they have to have that visibility into the home. And so to basically close that loop, and now they're willing to pay for it because they realize they can identify when there are points of intervention and get the skilled providers in there rather than the inpatient hospital visits. And the star ratings basically helps them increase their revenue per patient rather than just the slap on the hand penalty as well.
Yep, absolutely. So given all your experience with caregiving while helping thousands of families and patients, what is your main takeaway, the message you want our audiences to have to leave with today?
So it comes down to, and I'm really glad you asked that question, because this is probably the most difficult time if a family is going through a caregiver crisis. It's probably one of the most difficult times they will encounter in their life. And even professionals who I've been in this industry and they've been in this industry for years are confronted with it. They regress and they go, oh my God, I don't know what to do. And they have all their siblings arguing amongst each other. And so the biggest takeaway that I can say is it's never too early to plan. And even while your parents are healthy, like my mom's in her 60s, and obviously I'm in this industry, and I'm already talking about, okay, what do you want? Do you ever want to move into assisted living? Do you want to stay at home? Stay at home as long as possible? Okay, who do you want to be quarterback? And line these things up, because you do not know when that event will occur, because it's typically unexpected, in that you pre-plan. It's sad to see how many families don't pre-plan, and I've seen get torn apart, where my company and our team are trying to help them, and well, the son thinks one way, that what's good for mom or dad, and the daughters think a completely different way, and they're not on the same page. Then they go into battle with one another, and the parent is no longer has the capability to say, this is what I want. And so the major takeaway is have the conversation early. We are all going to age. We will all eventually need to get help. And we live in a society that doesn't like to talk about aging, but it's a reality. And the earlier that we have this conversation with our family members, it's going to be better off for the entire family and better off for our loved one who ultimately will need care.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. My platform, I call it educated aging, that people need to prepare for aging sooner in life, from their physical health, the financial health, to even their emotional health. And what I mean by that is, you know, how many older adults have you hung out with, and what lessons have you learned from them? Obviously, we in the industry have done that, and you know, there's lots we can learn from people in the places, even when they're living in nursing homes, that most of the public still equates with death. So anyway, we have a long way to go. We've made a lot of progress. I'm very impressed with meeting you, and really thank you for being a part of the summit today.
No, thank you for inviting me. It's a true honor.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.